all religions excepting Buddhism and some aspects of Hinduism accept the existence of the soul. And they have different notions of the soul. Even in philosophies like those of Socrates and Plato, there was a belief in soul. Even in Buddhism, where soul is not accepted as an entity, there is still some kind of an individuality which remains as a conglomeration of tendencies, unifies in a certain manner, and which can survive the death of the body, and can also be reincarnated in a new body. Similarly, even those aspects of Hinduism which do not believe in the soul accept some kind of individuality which can incarnate itself in new bodies after the death of the body. In other words, the idea of a soul as an individual entity capable of surviving the death of the body is common to all the religions. Therefore, as far as the idea of the soul is concerned, Sri Aurobindo's and Mother's concept of the soul may be similar to the idea of soul which may be present in different religions of the world. To understand, however, the distinction, we may have to analyze this question of the soul more distinctly. According to Christianity and Islam, even according to Judaism, the soul is the breath of God, which is breathed into the body, into the human body, and human body alone. And this breath, although has a beginning, is immortal because it is the breath of God. It gets incarnated in a human body, and after the death of the body, because it is immortal, it survives. Now, after the survival, what happens to the soul is another area of discussion. According to Christianity, the soul remains in a certain condition, waiting for the day of judgment, which is bound to come, when all the souls will be judged by the Supreme Lord. And He will decide whether they will be accepted in heaven or they will be condemned to hell. Those souls which are accepted submission to Christ will be sent to heaven. Those who are not, they will be sent to hell. And this hell is a perpetual hell. There is no escape from it thereafter. You remain there forever and ever and ever. As one of the evangelists was saying in one of his famous speeches, imagine yourself in fire. Imagine yourself in a fire that has boiled the oil. Imagine that you are thrown into the fire for an hour. Imagine that heat that you experience in that oil for an hour. Imagine half an hour and 1 hour. And imagine years, and imagine years after years. That is the punishment you will get if you don't accept Christ. Christ came on the earth to give you the news that here is a chance and opportunity for you to repent.
The body feels hot and cold, but the soul, which is the breath of God, should not actually be feeling any pain and heat and suffering.
That is the Vedantic concept of the soul.
Doesn't make any sense.
But this is how, according
soul
to...
Soul should suffer makes no sense.
Soul suffers. Joy. And there is suffering. And there is some kind of sin. According to Christianity, all of them are born. Adam and Eve were living in paradise. And there was a wonderful happiness. A serpent, however, came and told Eve, here is a fruit. On the tree of knowledge, wouldn't you like to eat it? And Eve was tempted. And she went to Adam. Said, let us both together pluck the tree. Pluck the fruit of the tree. And eat it and gain knowledge. They did it. This was for repeated sins. They should have freely chosen not to eat it. You are free. But they chose the wrong thing. That was the original sin. And then God, in His wrath, banished them from the paradise. And we are all children of that Adam and Eve. We are all born, therefore, in sin. We have, therefore, now a chance is given to us to choose. And Christ has come to tell you that if you repent and if you come, I have come here. Choose me. If you choose me, you will have heaven. Now this is the basic point. In Islam also, Christ's teaching is not the last teaching, therefore it is overpassed. And Muhammad came as a prophet. And who declared that all the prophets of the past have been great, but the latest is the most correct one. And now what is given the Quran is the correct one. Here there is no question of choosing surrender to Christ. You should surrender to no human being. Idea of God's Son is not a correct idea. All human beings are equal. But you must surrender to God. You must obey God's will. God is only one. Allah is only one. There are no special incarnations of God. There are prophets. And this is the latest prophet telling you the final truth. Maybe there will be another prophet later on. Imam will come later on. But until he comes, this is the latest. And God has now declared his will. Obey him. If you don't, there is hell. If you accept God, you go to heaven. Judaism also has the same theory. Accepting it does not accept either Christ or Muhammad. It only maintains that there will be one who will come, has not yet come. And let all prophets' teachings continue. There is a prophet called Moses, who has brought God's will. And that will, 10 commandments remain. Follow them. All the three religions, they are called Semitic religions. If you ask them the question, what is that soul, which is the breath, what is the nature of it? The answer is that the breath of God is Holy Spirit. In spirit, it is divine, holy. The only difference between God and man is that God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Soul is not. But in holiness, it sheds. It is of the nature of knowledge, holiness, purity. And this soul, when injected into the body, is given the freedom. And during this period of freedom, it is to exercise freedom rightly. If it chooses God, it can return to God. Otherwise, it is damned. Such is the nature of the soul. It has got freedom to choose. That's the nature of the soul. It is holy, but it is free to choose evil. There is evil in the world. There is good and evil. If you ask the question, from where has evil arisen, then there are many problems which are not research. According to one view, this world is itself reached out of nothing. It's a matter of all that you see in the world, universe. There is no substance from which God has created this world. Why? Because if it was created out of himself, it would be divine in nature. But it is not divine. It is unholy. It is, you might say, even if it's holy to some extent, it's not as holy as God. Maybe that God is a creator, and there was actually nothing out of which he has created this world. And he rules over the world. He's a commander. And the soul is a breath which is given this world as a field. And he has to choose this world or God. The distinction between this world and other world becomes very strong. The distinction between Caesar and Christ is sharp. This world, to be this world, to belong to this world, is to be sinful. If you choose God, that is the real thing. So the soul is the breath of God, but the world is not the breath of God. It can't be, because the world is so dirty. It can't be God's manifestation. It's a creation. It's not manifestation of God. And creation out of nothing, because there can't be. You may say it's illogical, but they say there is no answer to this question. If it was really divine, then divinity should be manifest. It is not. God can create out of nothing this world which is as it is. He is omnipotent, therefore he can create out of nothing. But it's not divine. This world may be therefore looked upon as a field of trials. We are all put here on this earth as candidates. And the constant battle is between good and evil. And you have been given freedom. You can choose. And if you choose rightly, fine. If you don't, there is hell. You remain in hell. Now if you ask a question, from where have you got this knowledge that there is a hell, there is heaven? These are called revelations. God has revealed this knowledge that there is a hell, there is a paradise, and that you are what you are as a free agent. These are called dogmatic statements, the revelations. And they are. You can question if you like, but you should not. You are free to question. But if you question and if you don't accept, hell is there always available to you. Therefore you should not question. Therefore my advice to you, don't question, my child. You have to accept it. Therefore, what is it that you have to do in life? Exercise free will. Study the scripture in which God's will is manifested, is told how you should conduct your life. And practice it. It's called praxis. Spirituality is praxis in that sense. You don't merely believe in what is given. You practice it. So that is what they say, that religion is not only a question of belief but praxis. The word praxis is this kind of praxis. That a commandment is given and you practice it. Put into your life. Choose the right thing. Choose God. This choice of God and choosing a God is religion, basically. The true religion, as distinguished from mere belief in God. Therefore, practice as if God exists. Practice the holiness of choosing God. And when you choose God, you experience that holiness of God. Make prayers all the time. Prayer is, I accept God. I accept God's will. This is practice. This is a practice of religion. Now this is the parameter of Semitic religions, and they have spread over a vast area of the world, these ideas. Now, it is these concepts which have seen big resistance in the West. Also Christianity has spread, Islam has spread, but Christianity particularly has come to be greatly questioned by all people who have turned to science. This whole idea of dogma, belief, there is no verification. That is why what is called materialism has flourished in the West so much. And yet, many people have not been affected by this materialism. Why? Because who knows? Science is not all knowledge. Maybe the science does not prove God or does not... But can science really disprove God? It cannot prove God. Fine. Can it disprove God? How can this be God? Who knows, there may be hell. Who knows? You are not all-knowing. God is omniscient. He has revealed there is a hell. That is why these religions are such a great hold.
So, in connection to this, the fact that Sri Aurobindo says that there is a psychic being is not unique. All the religions say that except for Buddhism and some forms of Hinduism. What is different is that most of the philosophers will say that it can only be practiced, spiritual education or psychic education can only be done through the instrumentality of religions. But in Sri Aurobindo and the Mother's philosophy, that's not there. It's different from religion.
That first of all, the soul is not to be believed in. Really.
It's to be experienced.
To be experienced. Verified. You can discover. Realizes.
So aspects of dogma and indoctrination are not there as in religion.
Right. And that, in education, you are led to experience such. It's praxis in the real sense. It is praxis in the sense of a practice not based on belief but practice of discovery. It's a quest. That's how I'm defining, I use the word quest. Quest of knowledge, not quest of a practice of belief. It aims at experiencing, verifying, repeated. It's not as if fleeting experience, sporadic experience coming and going away. You can be there. That you can really be possessed in your spirit. And you can have experience of it. As I experience the load here on my head, permanent load, similarly, I can experience the soul as a permanent reality. And all the qualities of psychic consciousness I can experience. Qualities of love, pursuit of beauty, the kind of spontaneously. I don't want to make an effort to be kind. I just naturally. Forgiveness is a natural condition of life. Not that I have to make an effort that now I calculate, oh, he has done this much of fault, that much of fault, I forgive 4%, 10% I don't forgive. No, sir. It's a state of consciousness. Grace is automatic in that consciousness. My call to God is conscious and constant. Oh Lord, have you not aware? Like Christ was it all the time, like Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's a call. It's not a belief. There is a constant call in him. I live in him. I experience him. And I fulfill my journey. If anything happens all around me, I can immediately see where is cruelty, which is not cruelty. A murderer comes to me, smiling before me. I can move himself into murderer. I have knowledge. Psychic consciousness is the knowledge, luminous. Can verify that. This is speciality, the knowledge, which can be verified. And this spiritual education aims at that. As I have said somewhere, psychic, spiritual, supramental education is the pursuit of a knowledge of the geography of spirits. Just as geographical knowledge consists in travel, similarly, spiritual education is a travel. The individual is a traveler. Can travel and experience and see. You can describe your experiences when you travel. See this great poem also I read reading. Come here. See book two. The soul in this guy is a traveler. Psychic being is a traveler. It can travel into all the worlds. And such a huge, how many pages, different kingdoms have been described. And these are experienceable. Then there is, in Kentos, in the book 7, there is the, that is the circle of the psychic beings, the soul. So that the description is given, what is that journey to soul? What do you experience? It's a scientific description. Anybody who goes to soul will experience it. It's a geography of the soul is given. So spirituality basically is a quest of knowledge. A knowledge of a state of being, experience of the being, possession of the being, identity with that being, and the knowledge that comes of the world in the light of that knowledge. Having seen which, you can't be discerned about the differences. It is a discrimination which comes out. What is right, what is not right, levels of appearances. Your dealing with the world becomes different. And what's the significance of the world? And one, that knowledge is not easily obtainable, even if you're in that field. There are many levels of experiences. And you can therefore have what is called integral knowledge. Distinction in knowledge and integral knowledge. I can know the soul and yet not know everything. I may know the spirit and the silence of the spirit. I may not know the will of the spirit. Therefore, to get the knowledge of the will of the spirit, another geography has to be traversed. Is the result of which you can know the will of the spirit. And the development of the capacities which come to you when you have that knowledge. All this vast field is the field of spirituality. So, it is in that sense all this is quite different from religion. When they say religion is praxis, it means practice of the belief in God and practice therefore of prayer, practice of the conduct which is prescribed and practice of the presence of God and obedience to God's will and resignation to God's will. These are the elements of what is called praxis. Religion is only belief in all this, but when they say religion is praxis, it means practice of these things. But the thing, well, it's not a quest. Sri Aurobindo says that spirituality is to be, to know, to possess and to be. These three words we mark up. This is directly conflict with epistemology. In religion, the experiences are confined to the practice of belief. Therefore, what is called practice of faith. When doubts arise, throw away the doubts. Don't allow the doubts to linger. It's a part of religion. It's practice. Practice throwing away the doubts. And keep faith that yes, despite everything, I believe God, when it was real. I believe Quran says all that has been said is true. That's the one part. Faith, practice of faith, which is called living faith. You really genuinely throw away the doubts in your mind and cling to the faith. This itself is a big practice according to religion. Secondly, to pray to God, practice of prayer. This is where the question of worship comes. Pray to God, worship God. Accept that He is great. He is supreme. And try to be near Him. Near Him means believe in Him. And practice what He has asked you to do. He has said, Ramzan, do not eat during the daytime. Practice it. Don't merely believe that you should fast. Practice fasting. And during those days, whatever conduct is prescribed, do that conduct. If you have to go to Hajj at that time. It's called practice, praxis. Choose the good, whatever has been said by Quran. Choose the good and throw away the evil. All temptations are there around the world. Throw away the temptation. Don't be tempted. It's called practice. And experience the presence. God exists. Believe in Him. Therefore, He must be all around. So practice the presence of God. Believe that God is all around. God is seeing you. God is judging you. So don't commit sin. He knows it very well. He knows because of his omniscience, He knows it. So practice as if you are in presence of God. Fear God. These are all elements of religious practice. Whereas in spirituality, you make a quest to know, to possess and to be, you become yourself that spirit. You transcend the level of belief, that's epistemology. Transcend the state of faith. Therefore, spirituality has three attitudes towards belief. One is, you don't need belief. Secondly, even if you believe, even if you want to get rid of doubts, it is good if you want to. But do not remain at the transcendent state. It is what is called turning faith into knowledge. If you have belief, first of all, belief is not compulsory. But if you want to believe, that also is possible. It doesn't say don't have belief. But you should turn that belief into knowledge. That's the mark of it. And thirdly, that knowledge, that experience can be repeated, can be transmitted to others. There's a method. By the methodical experience, you can prove it. Therefore, he said, knowledge, verifiable knowledge, tested knowledge. This is spirituality. Sri Aurobindo says, to be is to be holy. It's another mark. And when you are really spiritual, you experience what is to us. Normally, we don't experience to be because we are having three basic experiences in our normal life, body, life and mind. One is the experience of instinct. Now, in the instinctive experience, you have some glimmer of to be. You feel the passion. You feel as if you... It is possessing you. You are possessed. You are that. And when somebody is angry, anger is a passion. You become the wave of anger yourself. The flinging of yourself. Anything that comes in your way, you just fling aside. You want to destroy. That experience is something similar to experience of being. But when you really ask the question, that being is only an experience of a part of your being, only one wave, which comes and goes away. Afterwards you are where you are, come back again. It's the fleeting experience of identity and being. In all question of impulses, passions. It's an experience of being. But they are transitory. They rise and then, and secondly, you never actually possess them. You are possessed by it. Therefore, that experience in which you also possess your being, that experience is not gaining instinct. Secondly, in desire, it also experience of some being is there, is present in desire. That's because in desire, passion is also involved in it. In will, when you will something, there also there is an experience of being. But again, all these experiences are temporary, and in all of them ultimately you find that you feel possessed, but you do not say that like you are possessing. Excepting for a short time, you feel you are possessing. In spirituality or in psychic experience, that possession is a self-possession. in which you can perceive yourself consciously. And it is something similar to what is called homecoming. After all the day's travel and travail of life, when you come home, where there is earth and food and rest and relaxation, there is some kind of an experience of being. During the daytime, you have been thrown aside like winds blowing you all the time. Here there is peace. Now, psychic and spiritual experience gives you this permanency. This experience of being at home has settled. We are never left home. It's a real experience of peace that passes understanding. Not only that, but to be is not only to be, but to be holy. In all your parts of your being, you can control your passions. You can control your desires. You can control your will. You can harmonize one with again another being. And harmonize perfectly there. You can apportion satisfaction of different things according to your decision. And you can even fling aside all of them if you want. This is mastery. This is to be and to be holy. All your parts of your being are under your command. There is a supervening will in you. And everything in you obeys it. Even the will which has been conflicting with it submits to it. To be holy also is another meaning. To be holy is to be universal. Not only all your parts of your being are in your command, but even vastness. You feel that the whole world is you. You are so vast. You are not limited to this physical space in which you are. The omnipresence of the spirit, you become yourself omnipresent. You experience the whole universe within you. It's called cosmic consciousness. But for spirituality is spiritual consciousness. It's cosmic consciousness. Spiritual consciousness also is a transcendental consciousness. You experience yourself transcending the whole universe. These are very some of the summits of spiritual experience, but it's a field. All this is a part of this knowledge. And so spiritual education actually means that you present to the students a geography first of all, a geographical knowledge which is verified knowledge. Not something to be believed in. Children may not have the experience of all this, but you can talk to them that there is a cosmic consciousness. Just as you say to a child, New York exists. And if you want it, you can go there and you can experience, you can see yourself, Disneyland in America. It exists. Similarly, you can say cosmic consciousness exists. It's not a dogma. It's a verified proposition. And therefore you say to the children, don't believe simply because I'm telling you. These are objects of experience. And if you want it, you can also have it. And I give you the methods by which you can have it. This is the real meaning, to be and to be holy, to be transcendental. These are the three words which describe the true spiritual consciousness and spirituality. So there is a distinction between religion and spirituality. Very well conceived, understood. Religion as a belief, religion as praxis. Both are understood. And yet it is said spirituality is something quite different. It's neither religion as a belief nor religion as praxis. Spirituality is basically a quest. It's a discovery. There's a beautiful small book, I don't know if you've seen, The Supreme Discovery. You've seen that one? That is where what is called thick religiosity and spiritual education, they seem to coincide. Some portions of what is called praxis of religion and practice of spiritual education, they coincide. The distinction basically is whether whatever you do is a part of quest, arriving at experience, arriving at knowledge, arriving at self-realization, arriving at universality. Anything short of this is serving into belief and practice into belief. Which is not despised in a spiritual education. If somebody has to do it, it's alright. If somebody says, I don't care for it, it's also alright. Attitude of spirituality is not to insist upon belief, not to insist upon praxis of religion, and to assert that independent of it, by direct search you can have it. But if somebody says, I need to have this courage, that also is not denied. So what is called religious education is not denied, but to say it is the only spiritual education, then it is not true. There are many ways of approaching spirituality. Even intellectual philosophizing can be a part of spiritual education. Listening to music can be part of spiritual education. Witnessing an art exhibition can be a part of spiritual education. A conversation with a holy man can also be part of spiritual education. A debate with an atheist can be also part of spiritual education. Because the main point is whether you are willing to make a quest.